Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You know, we got urgent care in veterinary medicine. I know, I'm going to say that one more time. We do have veterinary urgent care that's here, and it's a really cool niche that's in our profession that is much needed, and I'm excited to learn more about it with our wonderful colleague, Dr. Christy D'Andrea, that's here. How are you, my friend?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I can't think of anybody else more that's more well-versed in this area because you have multiple practices that are going up in your area. So I want to learn all these great things. So to our listeners, a little bit about our wonderful friend. Dr. D'Andrea completed her BS at the University of Michigan in 2005 and gravitated towards her passion, obviously, for practicing veterinary medicine after working with a cancer research team at MIT. She graduated from Tufts Veterinary School of Medicine in 2011 and spent 6 years in general practice and emergency medicine. And then in 2017, she opened the first veterinary urgent care center in Quincy, Massachusetts, to create a place where owners could gain critical access to high quality care and where women and men in the veterinary field could have a positive work environment, bringing balance back to their busy lives. That's, oh, what a great sentence. My goodness, that's a good one. Hey, oh. In 5 short years, Dr. D'Andrea has helped grow VUCC into 3 standalone urgent care hospitals, with 3 more expected to open this year, which is fantastic. I know you're going to have one open in a few days. So congratulations on all your success there, my friend.
Thank you. It's been an amazing ride and very rewarding to see other people in our profession sort of jumping on this ship with me and believing that providing really good care is possible while maintaining our sanity.
Yeah, amen to that. So, you know, Dr. D'Andrea, I think of on the human side, I mean, it's been around for years. I mean, when we get sick, I don't go right to the ER. You know, there's a lot of these urgent care centers that have been around for many, many years. So how has the urgent care model carried on over from human medicine to vet med, and what impact has it had on the volume for our entire system?
So what was interesting when I started veterinary urgent care, I was in 2 different places, right? In the ER, you were stuck there way beyond your scheduled shift, seeing cases that came in, and that compassion fatigue and that exhaustion was there, right? And on the GP side, I had a 2-month wait, and I just felt like I was failing in both places. And, you know, I walked into urgent care myself because I had an ear infection, and I thought, well, this just makes a lot of sense. And then I talked to my colleagues about it, and we were so siloed into GP and emergency that no one really thought twice about urgent care. So I basically decided I would just open myself up. I started originally just myself, 5 employees, 5 to 10 PM. And I just opened myself up and said, hey, if anybody wants to see a vet, I'm here. And it quickly grew to an additional DVM, more DVMs. That location ended up doing really well. And we just patterned it after the human urgent care. As a matter of fact, we use a certain scheduling software that I pulled directly from the human side, because as I was putting this entire model together, I decided why reinvent the wheel. So I modeled veterinary urgent care center after human urgent care and how they do it in the human side.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And how's that going in terms of like modeling? Because I know we are, you know, veterinarians, we like to think of ourselves as different species, of course. But has that model helped in terms of your schedule and whatnot?
As far as the scheduling goes, it has helped a ton. As a matter of fact, with the system that we use, I was actually their first veterinary client, and now they have a ton.
Oh my gosh.
So a lot of veterinarians are jumping onto that bandwagon. There's a couple different systems out there, but the systems are nice. They allow direct online scheduling. You go straight to our website. You can have an appointment or a walk-in within just a few minutes without having to register for a username or password or anything like that. We utilize a lot of digital services. I think that from a digital standpoint, I think that we were, I don't want to say far more advanced than a lot of our colleagues, just mainly because moving our clients away from, you know, paper records and calling to make appointments and those things, we really moved UCC into the digital age where most things are done on smartphones. Obviously, clients walk in and it's a face-to-face conversation, but records, emailing, follow-up letters, all of that is digital here. So we've modeled a lot of that after the human side, and I think a lot of the profession at this time is following suit.
And I'm curious to get your insight on this. Did you have to market yourself a little bit differently in order for pet parents to understand what is an urgent care situation versus like what's an ER situation?
We have. Typically, though, if you say it just the way that you do, it's an urgent care by using urgent care within the business name. People had an inherent understanding of what could go to the urgent care versus what could go to the emergency room. So people did have an inherent understanding of it, but we did spend a lot of time being very specific about what we could do and what we couldn't do. I also personally spent a lot of time reaching out to my professional colleagues, both on the GP side and the area, just to reassure them that I wasn't there to take away their clients. I'm actually here to offload them. And at the time, they were weeks out in booking and they were very grateful when that 5 p.m. vomiting case called, when you don't know if it's a foreign body or if it's gastroenteritis and you really need to do some diagnostics. And their vets were tired. I mean, they'd been there doing procedures since 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's very common for those to get turned away. And either that pet just goes without care till the following day, or they go into the emergency room and they have a very long wait. They spend a lot more money. We were really able to thread that needle and not only offload the GPs quite a bit, but also offload the emergency rooms. Because if it is a case of gastroenteritis, it actually doesn't truly need to be there. And working on those partnerships and making sure that when we're helping our GPs, we're actually helping them and sending that client back for subsequent care the next day, if that's what's needed. The same thing with the emergency room. If we're running those diagnostics and getting that patient stabilized, if they actually do have to go to the emergency room, they're not going there for euthanasia. They're going there for help. And the clients are both mentally, emotionally, and financially prepared to take the next steps. That helps our ER partners a lot.
Yeah, it really does. And how can the model of urgent care continue to grow in animal medical industry? Because I can only foresee it just expanding even further, right?
I think now that we've tempered back a little bit, the COVID era was just a really challenging area for everyone. I mean, COVID was terrible across the board. It was really hard for everybody, but our profession in particular suffered significantly. We saw a lot of people in our profession just give into burnout. I think that we can get a lot of those people back to the profession, and the veterinary industry is obviously continuing to grow. People have more pets. Some of them are choosing to have pets over having children. And, you know, they're demanding higher levels of care. Those years of, well, can you just give me an antibiotic are really tapering off. I'm seeing people coming in saying, please do a urine culture. Great. No problem. I'm happy to do it. There may be times where even as a veterinarian, I'll say to clients, I don't think you need to do blood work today. I mean, I'm very honest if I think it's an unreasonable expense, but I've had clients specifically ask me to run diagnostics. The clients are demanding that higher level of care. And I think it's really important that as clinicians, we are prepared to provide it and provide it at the same level that they would get at a tertiary center.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And because they're doing so much research nowadays, you know, and just from hearing the pet parents, or they really are involved, whether they go on to social media or they're doing a deep dive. So it's nice for them to kind of bring that idea to you. Like, I know that my dog might have a urinary tract infection. I got a urine sample. I mean, oh my gosh, I feel like I won the lottery when that happens to me, you know?
Yeah. And what we're finding is that it's more and more common. And people do like the convenience factor of being able to. So for us, you know, we have 6 locations in a relatively smallish geographic area. I mean, our widest spread is about 2 hours apart, but people in the middle can actually look on our website and see which location is the closest and has the shortest wait time prior to calling or showing up or anything. And our wait time is live updated right on our website. So it does provide people that access.
That's really cool. Oh my
God. Thank you.
Yeah.
The human side had it figured out.
Yeah, they did.
Pretty bad the wheel,
man. Another thing that I love that you and your team are doing is you're utilizing your support staff in different roles and capacities. You're offloading a little bit of things. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. We talked a little bit about sort of that mid-level practitioner. And I think that, again, going along the human side, I mean, MDs had a lot on their plate, and now we've taken a lot off with nurse practitioners, physician assistants. Those are all prescribers and providers. We're seeing the same demands and volume and stresses on the veterinarian in the vet world that they see on the human side. So we don't have those, but we do have really qualified, very experienced Either veterinary technicians or CBTs that are perfectly capable of learning to do an ultrasound. We have a person in a training role, and we have brought all of our, not even CBTs, I mean, some of our just our experienced veterinary assistants, veterinary technicians, they're performing ultrasounds, flash ultrasounds before the client even sees the veterinarian. As the pet walks in the door, they're flashing the abdomen and chest to let us know what's going on. They're even tapping and doing fluid analysis for us as well. So we really utilize our technicians. I mean, I can be running a couple of things all at the same time. And for example, you know, you've got a lac repair, a blocked cat, and you know, an abdominal effusion. I can run all of those at the same time because truly, if the blocked cat's not that challenging, the only thing I'm doing is I'm blocking the cat. I mean, the staff is doing everything else. They're placing the IV catheter, they're running the blood work, they're getting the drugs in, they're, you know, getting everything clipped and prepped. Like they're handling all of that. It really offloads the clinician time, which obviously translates to faster care for the pet. Obviously it does translate to the bottom line, but it also really improves the camaraderie among the team. We're very collaborative here. I have enormous respect for our veterinary technicians. As a matter of fact, one of them taught me in vet school.
Wow.
And she actually applied for a job. My hospital manager brought me her resume and I said, this person needs no application. She wants a job, please come work with our team. So it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great, I love hearing that because you're empowering your support staff to always, I mean, this profession has so many great things that you could do to challenge yourself even further. Whenever I hear somebody feels like they're quote unquote stuck in something, oh my gosh, there's so many wonderful things that are out there. So I love that. Do you think that there are any misunderstandings about urgent care, both like within the veterinary profession or even externally?
I think that we historically had this silo, right? You had GP and you had emergency. And I think in both silos, there was some fear of taking clients away or not letting clients go back. And of course, we always have those clients that just want the convenience factor, right? They just show up for help and then they don't come back. Those clients, in my opinion, are going to happen anywhere. If people have a good solid relationship with their primary care veterinarian, we actively send them back. I don't know how much we want to get into sort of compassion fatigue and, you know, that sort of client DVM relationship. But I think for many of us who choose urgent care, that relationship can get pretty draining. And I reassure my primary care DVMs that we're all set. We're happy to diagnose the diabetic. We have no interest in managing it. Please, you can do those things. But the same thing on the emergency side. I mean, it's again, it really comes down to those relationships and sort of breaking down those barriers of what urgent care is. But I really feel strongly as urgent care is becoming a hot topic. I think unfortunately, what I'm seeing with some other groups is that it's so challenging to get veterinarians at this point that you throw a veterinarian in an urgent care shift who may not have that emergency background, and you're not really running an urgent care. You're running a GP with extended hours and turfing something to the ER. You may not be helping as much as I would expect for our group. For our group, it's really important to me that we elevate that level of medicine such that when we do ship something to the ER, the diagnostics are done, they're done appropriately, the client is well-informed, the patient is stabilized appropriately such that we're helping our ER group, and our ER group isn't just receiving a bunch of diagnostics that now they have to figure out a puzzle and, you know, making it more challenging for them. Our goal is to really be that in between and to make sure that we're helping our providers on both sides of that aisle. And it's just something that we really focus on here with Vet Urgent Care Center.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And the other thing I just want to close and get your, because as when we talk about work-life balance in vet med, I'm curious to see, what does your work-life balance mean to both you and your team? Because your hours are a little bit different. So tell me a little bit about, like, what does that look like for the day in the life of you?
Yeah, they are. I'm pretty guarded. I think that, when I first started in Quincy, it was a house call vet. She'd come to me and she brought me a gift, and it was just a little plaque to hang on my wall. And it said, if your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. And I think that that is a very powerful sentiment, because we as veterinarians, we tend to give and give and give and give and give just because we're in this profession because we love so much. And I think one of the things that I'm good at as now a boss, or, you know, in the position that I am, I will guard my veterinarians and my support staff. I will guard their boundaries for them because they're not always as good at it. So I structure their schedule. I structure their hours. I make sure that, you know, they have the time off that they need when they have the time off that they need. We maintain a huge relief roster. We're very, very fortunate. A number of people have chosen to leave the profession by maintaining those relationships. We actually have a very large relief roster. So we're very, very fortunate in having people that are able to fill shifts when our DVMs need time off. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very generous with time off, breaks from work, hours, schedules, getting schedules that work for all of us. I mean, one of the things that I think that we're all seeing in the profession, I'm not sure I hear it addressed as much, but with the increasing percentage of women in the field over the past 10 years and growing, what do? We go to vet school, we do our internship, and we have babies because that's the time for us to have babies. And now we've spent all of this time, you know, fighting for this career that we love so much. And you ask us to choose between our families and our career, that sometimes can be an unfair question. And for me, it's, okay, I know you want to be here. How can I make this work for your schedule? And I put that burden on me as a professional and as a colleague and as an employer to make sure that they have the emotional bandwidth to do their job within whatever works for their family. And it's just really important to me.
Yeah, that's so nice to hear. It really is. So what time do you usually get home?
Me personally or schedule? Just
generally speaking, I guess. Like what time
do you leave at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. Okay.
We leave at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
We leave at 10 o'clock. As a matter of fact, I have security on my phone. So I know when the doors aren't locked, when the alarm is not set at 10 p.m.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's a good healthy boundary right there.
I know. If you're working late, I know.
Right. That's a good one. I really like that. And so where can we learn more and where do you see about the growth of VUCC moving forward?
So we're really excited. We just expanded into out of the state of Massachusetts into Rhode Island. So we are continuing to expand outside of New England. And yeah, we have plans to go as far as we can while maintaining who we are. It's very important to me that we maintain that quality of medicine, that level of professionalism, and it's just not something I'm willing to sacrifice. So I'm happy to grow as long as all of those things shake out.
Love it. And what's the name of the website too for Vet Urgent Care?
Vet Urgent Care. You can always check me at veturgentcare.com.
I love it. Awesome. See, we learned so much from you, Dr. Christie. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you to you and your team for all the great work that you're doing out there. It's really noticeable. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm very grateful. Have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to the listeners out there. Isn't this wonderful about our profession? How we have all these different cool opportunities out there. And if you're ever interested in learning more, please reach out to us. I know this is what's great about VetMed is, you know, Christy's there. We're going to put all the contact information in the show notes too, if you're interested in learning more about urgent care medicine, what that's like for you and your support staff. And you know, we are all in this together. So I just love this. So awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast as always. It helps us out significantly. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.